put billions of dollars into, because the United States pays for it, by the way. I can get political. I'm not up there. This year, they developed an ambassador to extraterrestrials. And we all got a laughing joke out of that. That's funny. That's just ridiculous. If you think it's ridiculous, how are they going to explain that we all vanished? It just starts making sense, folks. I'm not saying that's what it's going to be, but it just makes sense that finally they can go, you know what, we were so smart. We got an ambassador to them. We didn't see them when they were here, but here's what happened. Some charismatic guy from the Middle East is going to step forward and say, look, everything's okay. Here's what happened. You know, E.T. came back and went back home and took Eldon and Kim both with him, and that's just how that happened. Somebody's going to explain it. Now we're in the tribulation, okay? Because we're all gone. Somebody stepped forth and explained it, soothed everybody's feathers. Everybody's fine. Look, we got world peace now. We got all them idiots out of here that were stirring up trouble. Now we got world peace for 3.5 years. Jesus Christ said, at the end of that 3.5 years, He's going to go into the temple. By the way, the temple, they're going to be worshiping Islam and Christianity. Excuse me, not Christianity. They're going to be sacrificing animals again. I don't know how that's going to work because the SPCA is still going to be here. Yeah, PETA and them are still going to be here. I'm not sure how that's going to work because they're going to begin to sacrifice animals again and worship Muhammad in the same building. And then what's going to happen is the Antichrist is going to come and set up his image to where he can be worshipped. Desecration of the temple. When that happens, that next 3.5 years is going to be hell on earth. It's going to be bad. But again, if you've got your calendar, you can mark off the days. I said all that to say there's a calendar there. There was a calendar in the Old Testament. The calendars deal with God's people, Israel. The calendars deal with that. There is no calendar for the church. The reason being is we're not bound by this. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. So we don't have a timetable. That's why we don't know. Jesus Christ said no one knows when He's going to return again. We don't know because, again, the church isn't listed on a timetable. Only Israel has the timetable. When the church is removed back out, time starts back again for Israel. 1,260 days is what's going to run the course. Again, we have that in Revelation as well as in the New Testament and the Old Testament. I don't know how y'all got all that. That was free. So, the wise men knew of this calendar. They knew that the Messiah was to be born. That star out of Jacob was going to appear because they had the Old Testament scriptures. They had studied it. What just astounds me, and I read some on it last night, the Jewish leaders who were teaching this didn't get it. They didn't understand it. They didn't understand that the Messiah would come. He said, you want a sign? Here's your sign. A virgin shall give birth. Never had happened before. Hadn't happened since then. Only happened one time. There's your sign. And that's a pretty definite sign, y'all. We pretty well understand how all that works. That's a pretty definite sign. A virgin shall bring forth a son, and his name shall be Emmanuel, God with us. That's Jesus Christ. But when he got here, the Jews said, no, we want... Remember, they got to pick their first king. No, that's not the one we want. The Bible says he wasn't pleasant to look at. He didn't have any features about him that made him anything. He's not that real nice autographed picture that you got on the wall at home. That's not it. The long flowing hair and Yeah, he's not that one. He wasn't anything to look at. Generally, they followed him around because of what he could do for them. We still have that crowd today. You know, it's not what I can do for the cause of Christ, but what he can do for me. That crowd's always been around and will remain around. So these wise men, because they had the calendar and they knew that the star would appear, they said, told Herod, "We've seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Verse 3 said, "And when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." There's a reason for that. Here this entourage shows up in Jerusalem. Turn to Isaiah chapter 60. We get this idea of three kings and this small little old group that they had. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 20 says, "And the Redeemer," that's capitalized in my Bible, "the Redeemer shall come to Zion," that's to Jerusalem, "and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and evermore." He continues in chapter 60. And he says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." We understand that Jesus Christ is the light sent into a dark world. Verse 2 says, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see, all they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar, and daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee. The dromedaries of the Midian and Ephod, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar. I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud, as the doves to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me, the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and the Holy One of Israel, because he glorify thee." That's a current prophecy and a prophecy yet to be fulfilled. He says that the multitude of dromedaries will come. That's a lot of camels, y'all. I don't know how many a multitude are, but I figure it's packing more than three kings. You could have just said several, right? A couple would have just got the gold and the frankincense. You could have said several and got some myrrh in there. But he says a multitude of dromedaries shall come. That verse 8 actually references those coming in the future to him. It says, "Who are these that fly as a cloud?" There'll be people traveling to Israel. Israel's going to come back. Who are these people that fly as a cloud, as the doves to their windows? That's prophecy yet to be fulfilled. But here Isaiah says that the Gentiles will come to His light. They'll bring gifts of gold and incense. There'll be a multitude of them. And again, I'm not here to argue or dispute whether there was 3 or 7 or 14 or however many kings. The idea is that the kings came in whatever number, and the gifts that they brought we have here. We discussed the gifts last week of what they represented. The gold for His Christly reign, the frankincense for His priestly intercession, and then the myrrh for His coming death that He would do for mankind. But go back to Matthew chapter 2. Says that verse 4 says, "And when He had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, He demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto Him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." We've read that over the last several weeks, that it was prophesied that Bethlehem, being small in Judea, would still the glory of the Lord should come. Verse 6 says, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired them diligently what time the star appeared." If they showed up and was trying to get to the manger, this discussion wouldn't have took place. If he says, "Hey, was it yesterday or the day before?" No, he said, "Tell me when the star appeared that y'all started gathering up all your gold and your frankincense and your myrrh and all your cooks and all your tents and everything to travel possibly 1,000 miles. If they could do 20 miles a day, however long it takes them, understand, these were kings. This wasn't the Pony Express riders. These were guys needing protection. They were needing to be cared for like kings. They would have all of their entourage with them. It would take, again, through the process of just going through the detail of it, you would think that it would take a pretty good entourage, take them a while to set up, tear down, move to the next place, again, with guards. The other thing to understand is when they showed up in Jerusalem with whatever entourage they had, Herod and the city was troubled. If 3 kings showed up on some donkeys, I'm not sure how much trouble that would cause. If kings from different provinces of the east showed up, I'm sure Herod would be a little bit alarmed. At that time, through some historical accounts, we understand that Persia, who had never conquered Rome, was a threat to them on the eastern border. Now these Persian kings show up. Herod pretty well freaks out because he's a long ways from Rome. He's got that garrison there for him, but it would take some time to get somebody there to combat this entourage from Persia. So it says that Herod and all of Jerusalem was troubled. There was trouble because here this multitude shows up, and all they did was say, "Hey, we've come to worship the King of the Jews." Herod was troubled in 2 ways. Is this really a Trojan horse? Are they really just sneaking up on us? Well, that's pretty bad. But they said they come to worship the King of the Jews. That's me. And they're not wanting to worship me. So Herod was troubled, but the city was all troubled with him. They were a little concerned about what was going on with this multitude that showed up. Verse 8 says, "And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." And we see that when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. I told y'all last week, that's verbiage that says this star had some type of movement. If they're setting here in Haslett, and you look back to the east and you see planes coming in and out of DFW, and you see a plane in the air and you say, see that plane? That house is right underneath it. Good luck finding that. But if they've got some type of visible star that is moving around and pointing them to a certain area, I think that makes more sense to me. We understand that the stars that they're talking about aren't the stars that we understand to be stars. We understand that our sun is a star. All the stars are like our sun, scattered out there. We say that a falling star, we see falling stars all the time. Those aren't really falling stars. Those are meteorites coming into our atmosphere and burning up, right? So they said they saw some kind of something within our atmosphere. Again, you've either got the sun, the moon, or stars. So they said, well, it wasn't the sun, and it wasn't the moon. It must be the only other heavenly body there is, and that's a star. And they said, there's a star that we've seen his star appear. Now, again, I've heard everything from the constellations lining up just right, and Pisces being one area that represented Israel. Another was Leo the lion, which was the king of Judah. I like that one a little better. But again, I can't imagine trying to find a house underneath the Big Dipper. I just think that would be monumental. I think that we have in the Old Testament what was known as the Shekinah glory. God came down into our atmosphere and just pivoted over the tabernacle. And when it moved, they loaded up the tabernacle and they moved until it stopped over here and they set up again. And it assured them in the Old Testament that God was right there with them. I believe it was a manifestation of the Shekinah glory, saying God is with us right here, and it's right down here where we can see it and pretty much get right up underneath it. Instead of something out into the outer space so far, I mean, can you imagine trying to say it's right under the cup of the Big Dipper? That'd be pretty tough to pinpoint. That'd give you just about, what, one continent or more? So verse 9, Matthew 2 says, when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I'll tell you, in the Old Testament, when they saw that Shekinah glory of God, that was their joy. They knew God was right there with them. And if God moved over there, they all moved over there with Him. It was their glory in the Old Testament. And it says here that they were filled with great joy. Verse 11 says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped Him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto Him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. I mentioned this last week. It's noteworthy to know that when those wise men came into contact with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when they departed, they went another way. They went another way from the way that they came. And that's a message for us today, that when we really come into the presence of the Savior of the world, of our personal Savior, we are to be able to depart another way. And when we get up, we should be going in another direction than the way that we came in. I like the fact that, again, they came to the house. Y'all know my pet peeve at Christmas is the wise men at the manger. It irritates me because it's not what the Scripture says. Now again, I'll give you that he was born somewhere that there was a manger. And it may not have been the Tower of the Flock. It may have been in a cave in the side of the hill. It may have been in the Mary, whatever the deal is, the nativity deal over there that y'all have seen. It may be that. I'll give you that. But I'll tell you that the Word of God says the wise men showed up at a house and saw a young child. There's no mention of a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes laying in a manger. It says they showed up at a house and there was a young child there and they bowed down and worshipped him. The three gifts that were given were very precious, but again, it's one of those layers that you peel back and see the true meaning of it. But they had to get out of the country. Herod was a terrible man, killed one of his wives, killed several of his own children. But he sent out a decree that every child 2 years and younger in Bethlehem should be killed. We see in the Old Testament where it's alluded to about this fact, where there would be wailing for the loss of children. We saw that in the Old Testament and in some of our study back the last several weeks. But they had to get out. They had to have means to get out. I believe that they had means now. Remember, Joseph was poor. He was of royal descentage, but he was poor. And they had to get out, and here God supplied for them to get out and return again. So I'll give you all of that, but again, the wise men show up at the house, and I'll argue that one with you through Scripture. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you that, most importantly, that you gave the gift. Father, you gave your Son, Lord, that we would have eternal life. And Father, I thank you for that Lord, that you presented Christ as a perfect sacrifice, acceptable, Lord, for my sins. Lord, I claim Him as my personal Lord and Savior. Lord, I thank you for that at this time when we exchange gifts that we keep in mind, Lord, that you are the one that gave first. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, be with our preaching service to follow in Christ's name. Amen.